Well, good morning. Merry Christmas to you guys. I'm glad to see Lottie Moon, Joy to the World, Christmas light board up. So let's try to fill that thing up this year, right? Support those missionaries that are out going around spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pause for a minute. Bear with me. This might look a little foolish, but okay. I'm gonna tell you this. The Lord knows my heart, so I'm okay. I know my heart's wicked, but still, God knows my intentions. Let's put it that way. Miss Mary Ann mentioned something several months ago, maybe a year ago now, about prayer walk in the church. Remember that? And inside? And I tell you, I've been doing it probably since the summer. And I just want you guys to know, that I call out your name and your children's names as much as I know them. Every morning, and I go down the church aisle just like, and it's I have some other prayer time, getting the message together and all that kind of thing. But early in the morning, not every morning, because who can do it every morning? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just not. But most mornings, I just start out over here, and I call out Jamie and Tammy, and try to, I just go right on down, right on, because we're creatures of habit, aren't we? And I got right down, and I call out your name to the Lord. And it's really been a blessing for me. It's blessed me. So I want to encourage you guys in your prayer time. Try this. It's not the right way to pray or the only way to pray. But it's really neat, isn't it? And then sometimes, I fall asleep. around here, I'm like, oh, Lord, sorry. Huh? Oh, actually, I started doing that. I'll come around here, but most times I'm able to kind of get around, and then sometimes God will stop me, on one particular person or family, and I just kind of stay that right there for a minute, and I might not get, all the way through or whatever, but God knows, right? And it's just thank you, Marianne. That's been real special for me, and I encourage you guys, give it a try. Maybe once a week, pick a day and say, I'm going to, in the morning. Sometimes I'll do it at night before I go to bed, but most time it's mornings. I wake up early in the morning, get up, and it's been a real blessing, so thank you. Merry Christmas. Wayne, you are loved. Isn't that neat? You're loved. All right, so we got quite a lot to do this morning, so if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews. Did you guess where we're going to be this morning? Anybody? Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And so if you have your sermon notes, let's get ready for that. Get ready to take good notes. When I was preparing for this, several times I want to say I wrestled with the Lord because I don't want to go there, right? I don't want to walk around with a limp the rest of my life. But I want to try to get this message in two sermons, two messages, but I just couldn't let go. God just wouldn't let go of me about this. So we're going to take a look at the whole chapter 7. So bear with me. There's a lot of scripture to read, but that's okay. Everybody know it's all right to read the scriptures in the in church? That's okay, So hang with me. God wouldn't let me break this up in two messages for whatever reason. I guess we'll know later, right? But I'm really excited about this. If you're new or hadn't been here for a while, what we've been doing is going through the book of Hebrews. Just scripture, by scripture. And just taking a real serious Bible study, Bible teaching through the book of Hebrews. And this is a lot of scripture, 1 through 28, chapter 7, just 1 through 28. And I'm not going to have time to cover every single scripture and word, but if you'll notice, I will cover the whole chapter here, okay? So here we go. Let's pray first. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, as always, to brag on Jesus, to lift up the name of Jesus and to glorify you, Father. We just love you. Thank you for the ones that are here. And I ask for your protection of the ones that are vacationing or resting or that sort of thing. Lord, we just pray for a special little prayer for Paul right now, Lord, as he preaches at Morrison's this morning. Lord, just bless him. Let your anointing fall upon him. Let him preach the word, preach the good news. Help those folks this morning, Lord. And we pray just a special prayer, Lord, for him and his family, that your will be done in their life and that they'll trust you and whatever comes out of that. So we love you, Jesus. Thank you. Help me teach this morning. I desperately need you. I can't do this without you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, yeah, Paul and his family, they're at Morrison's Baptist this morning. He's preaching. You know, their pastor resigned. So he's going to, I think, preach for them for a couple times and kind of help them a little bit. And that's good. I think that's awesome. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 through 28. So here we go. Ready? And I printed out the in big font, so I tried to hook this up on the iPad, and I just can't get that fancy. Maybe some of you guys can help me out with that. So I got a big font here printed out for the word, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham appointed a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. Verse 3, he is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man, who does not have his descent from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Verse 7. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. Verse 9. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes to Abraham. For he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? And we're going to get into explaining all this later, so y'all hang with me, okay? Verse 12. For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek. Verse 16, who has become a priest. Not, everybody listen to this, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law, verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Verse 22, this makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstainable, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. Jesus has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily. First for their own sins and then for those of the people. Since Jesus did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. And everybody said amen?
Amen.
Now we're digging deeper into Hebrews. Remember we talked about in Hebrews at the beginning, they were talking about now it's time to mature and grow from milk to meat. And we're getting deeper now, okay? Everybody okay? You got your big boy pants on, big girl pants on. So we're going to dig deeper in this. We're going to look at this. This scripture is very exciting to me, so y'all hang on. If you got your sermon notes, let's start focusing on that. The message today is entitled, Finding Real Peace. And many believers today suffer from the lack of peace. One of the main reasons is that they don't understand what it means to have Jesus as our high priest. So to help comprehend this superior priesthood of Christ and find real peace. Everybody say real peace.
Real peace.
The writer of Hebrews explains how Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So finding real peace requires understanding these three basic facts. And I call them facts because I believe it's recorded in the Word of God. It's a fact, right? Because remember we talk about God making an oath and a promise and that sort of thing. So the three things are this, if you're taking notes. Peace is the fruit of righteousness. Peace is the fruit of righteousness. Number two, peace is the result of love. Peace is a result of love. Number three, peace comes from knowing Jesus saves completely. This is a huge one. The third one is a huge anchor. We talked about anchor last week, remember? So number three is peace comes from knowing Jesus saves completely. All right, so let's take a look at the first one. Peace is the fruit of what? Righteousness, right. The writer of Hebrews uses the example of Melchizedek, who's really one of the most interesting guys and mysterious type guys in the Bible, right? But he uses this example to explain the priesthood of Christ. And he refers to the description of Melchizedek in Genesis. Genesis 14, 18, 20. And let me read this to you real quick. It's real short. Not as long as the other one. It seemed like it's like 3 hours, didn't it? It's okay, though. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Here we go. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram, by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. I mean, amazing, isn't it? The context here, you look at the context here, Abraham is returning home after defeating these warring kings who had kidnapped his nephew Lot. Remember that story? And he must have, you know, anyway, he must have really tore him up. Let's put it that way. Okay, in verse 1, it says that he met Abraham returning from the slaughter and blessed him. That's literally what it says. And blessed him. So like Christ, Melchizedek is both priest and king. So we're going to take a little look at this, okay? Like Christ, Melchizedek was both priest and king. And when it talks about Salem, Salem is an ancient name for the city of Jerusalem. Okay, it comes from a Hebrew root which means shalom. Shalom. Anybody know what shalom means? Peace. Right. So, the word Jerusalem means city of peace. Okay? People have always looked for peace. And the Bible says that they're going to continue looking until the very end. They're going to be saying, "Peace, peace, where is the peace?" Everywhere we look today, people are trying to find peace. They're trying to find it through money or more money or success or relationships or drugs or entertainment or even nature. But we all know that God's way is really where peace is found. In verse 2, it tells us the name of Melchizedek means righteousness. So his name, Melchizedek, means King of Righteousness. So he was the king of peace and righteousness. So we're building here, so hang on. We can only experience true peace through righteousness. And that word righteous or righteousness means right standing with God. In other words, we're good to go with God now. We've been saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. We believe in the baptism, right? We believe in the resurrection. We believe in Jesus dying on the cross. The death, burial, and resurrection. Isaiah 32:17 says this. Isaiah 32:17, "And the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness is quietness and trust forever." That's Isaiah 32:17. You see, guys, peace is not something that we find or earn. It is the fruit of righteousness which is given to us by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said in John 14:27, one of my favorite verses, says, "Peace," Jesus says, "peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus can give us peace because he is our high priest who makes us righteous. Jesus gives us peace. All right, so let's lay some groundwork right here. Everybody good? Let's lay some groundwork. In the Old Testament, a priest had to be from the tribe of Levi and a descendant of Aaron. Therefore, priests were more concerned with their physical genealogy than their own holiness, which really sets up for a lot of corrupt priests back in the day. I guess we don't really have that problem today. Sorry. Tongue in cheek. In verse 3, though, it tells us that Melchizedek had no parents or no genealogy. Some people have speculated this means that he was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Okay? And this belief is called Christophany, which I don't believe that. That's not something that I believe, really. Just because Melchizedek had no parents or genealogy does not mean that he was eternal or that he came from nowhere. I don't believe that. It probably means that there was just nothing recorded in the Old Testament about his parents or his origin or his death. But no one really knows. Okay? Since Melchizedek lived before Aaron, he had no priestly genealogy. Everybody see that? He lived before Aaron, so he had no priestly genealogy leading him back to Aaron. Therefore, he was without the required seminary degree. He was without the required family background. Are y'all see where I'm going with this? He was without the required genealogy. If Melchizedek had lived under the law, he would not have been allowed to be a priest. Especially the high priest. They would say, no, you were raised in that family. You were raised over there. Jesus, our high priest. Now listen to this. This is real important. Jesus, our high priest, is also without the required genealogy because he is from the tribe of Judah. So Jesus' high priesthood, like Melchizedek, is based on God's appointment, not on family history. That's so important. In verse 3, it also tells us that, like the Son of God, Melchizedek continues a priest forever. You see, the Levitical priesthood, these guys serve term limits. More than 20 years from the age of 30 to 50. They were definitely like Kennedys, you know what I mean? They had certain terms. Sorry, that was a bad joke. They had term limits. But Melchizedek had no such limits on his priesthood. He died a priest and is a priest forever, which means there is no recorded end of his priesthood. Therefore, Melchizedek was a type of Christ. Everybody seeing this? However, he is not our high priest today, because the high priest serves as a mediator between God and man. In 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, and that is Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. He is the only mediator. Jesus Christ, our mediator, makes us righteous, has nothing to do with what we do or don't do. Everything, 100% of it, has to do with what Christ did on the cross. And coming out of that grave, everything. Romans 5:19 says this. Romans 5:19. "For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." Everybody good? Jesus gives us peace because he makes us righteous. In right standing with God. It's because of him that we can boldly come to the throne of grace and receive mercy from God. So finding real peace requires knowing peace is the fruit of righteousness which Jesus gives us. Everybody say, Jesus gives it to me. We don't earn it. We don't go out and get it. We don't find it. Jesus gives us this. Second point. Peace is the result of love. Peace is the result of love. God never intended. Now remember, we're talking about this Hebrews 1, chapter 7, 1 through 28. So we're looking. I'm cruising through these scriptures. I know I'm not pointing them out, but I am cruising right through the scriptures, okay? So God never intended the Levitical priesthood to last forever. Now here, listen to this. The law instituted the Levitical priesthood. The law. Okay? But perfection or being righteous could not be achieved through it. Hebrews tells us the law made nothing perfect. But Hebrews goes on, we just read it earlier, but a better hope is introduced through which we now can draw near to God. The Levitical priesthood was just a picture of a better priesthood to come, which is Jesus Christ. That's what this writer of Hebrews was laying all this out for these guys. Psalms 110:4 says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Who's he talking about there? He's talking about Jesus. Hebrews goes on to say that when there is a change in the priesthood, there's a change in the law. Amen to that one, right? That's why Romans 13:10 says this. Romans 13:10, here it is, ready? Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Everybody get that? Wow. Love is what brings peace to our human relationships because it does no wrong to our neighbors. If we love, we won't gossip. If we love, we won't covet. We won't steal. We won't take advantage of or do anything wrong to our neighbor. This is the law of Christ. Love. And when we love, we get peace, don't we? Peace is given to us. That peace that the world doesn't know anything about. That's what the Bible says, the peace that surpasses all understanding. If you look at that little scripture right there, it's really talking about the lost people. They don't understand it. Lost people don't understand. Totally. They just don't understand it. But as a follower of Christ, you can have that peace that surpasses all understanding. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I'm glad I threw a few disclaimers in there, aren't you? You know, if possible, that's what it says. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Finding peace requires understanding that peace is the fruit of righteousness. Number two, peace is the result of love. And then number three, peace comes from knowing Jesus saves completely. Completely. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus was made a priest with an oath. We talked about that last week a little bit, you know, the oath and the promise. Then he quotes the same scripture that we just quoted from Psalms 110:4. In other words, the Lord's not going to change his mind. Jesus is the priest forever. This means that Jesus is our high priest eternally. Now, because of this oath, Jesus is the guarantor or surety, the one who guarantees the better covenant with God. Did y'all hear me say guarantees? Guarantees the better covenant with God. You see, each Levitical priest had an unavoidable term limit. It was death. But because Jesus lives forever, he holds his priesthood, what? Permanently. Because Jesus lives forever, he holds his priesthood permanently. He is a superior high priest because he will never need a successor. This should bring truth and peace to your heart. Now, we come to one of the greatest verses in the Bible, in my opinion. There's a lot. How can you say, ooh, this is one of the top 10? I don't know. This verse tells us Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Verse 25 says this word, uttermost, it means Jesus saves. You look it up, it means Jesus saves completely and eternally. Then it goes on and says that, the verse goes on and says, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The verb translated intercession, again, is present tense, which means Jesus is continually intercedes for us and asking God to act graciously on our behalf. Now, you know what that means to me personally? Every time I confess a sin, Jesus, I picture Jesus as saying something like this to the Father. Just Jesus, I'm picturing saying to the Father, I'm Dallas's high priest, and I have already made the sacrifice for that sin. So you can be gracious to him and forgive the poor guy. You know, you can have mercy on him. You can give him grace. I've already paid the price for that sin. Hebrews, the scripture we read, and I'll read it again, says Jesus, our high priest, is holy and innocent and unstained and separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those other priests, to offer sacrifices and for their sins. Jesus paid the sacrifice once and for all. For it is finished, he said of the cross, right? Because Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek and appointed by God, you can relax. You can relax. Receive God's peace concerning your salvation and your citizenship and your heavenly home. You can put at peace. You can be at peace because Jesus saved us. Continually makes intercession for us. He has saved us completely and intercedes for us. You don't have to worry about making a sacrifice anymore. Jesus did that once and for all. You don't have to worry about saving yourself with good works. Talked about that a couple weeks ago. Jesus saves you completely to the innermost, the uttermost and innermost and the most. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is what? It's a gift. It's a gift of God. Jesus gives us that gift. Finding real peace requires understanding peace is the fruit of righteousness. Peace is the result of love. And peace comes from knowing that Jesus saves completely. Amen? We can rest in that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can rest in your grace and mercy. We can rest in the fact that you sent your Son. Oh, and during this season, we hear about little baby Jesus growing up, becoming a man down on the cross, Easter time, being raised from the grave. Lord, if there's one here this morning that's never placed their faith in you, Lord, we do a song of invitation. I pray they come down and give their life to Christ so they can have that peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Or if there's one that may want to join the church or maybe get baptized, that would be awesome. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.